Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 22nd, 2011, on the West Coast. Now, February the 23rd, 2011, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. We appreciate you carrying the broadcast and helping us get the word of the truth out there. There's so much going on around the world these days. If you've been following the news, and of course, we get what they want us to get. If we're fortunate enough to know someone in other parts of the world, they'll tell us what's going on. There's this perception in Europe and other parts of the world that we don't know what's going on here in America. We do. Not everyone does, because many people are asleep. You folks overseas have your own populations that are left in the dark, because people are basically just living their lives and walking through life sort of like zombies or mind-controlled robots. We hear this all the time about ourselves. We do mention our own people in that state of mind as well, and we often talk about that. Tonight's guest and I are going to be talking about that in some detail. My guest is an environmental scientist, a former chemist who worked for IBM Corporation. He is an herbalist, an historian, and a musician. My good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks. Great to be back.
It's nice to have you back. There's a topic that we bring up almost on every show, especially you and I. If we're not talking about herbal remedies or music, certainly we're talking about who's pulling the strings behind the scenes of world politics, world government, world economy and finance. And certainly when we speak about corruption, we keep speaking about the same groups. And I have to say that there is another individual, David Icke, who has been doing day-long lectures on these topics, and many others that we talk about. Of course, you and I have talked a lot about the reality of an alien presence on this planet. Many people are aware of this, despite the fact that when we talk about it, it's poo-pooed and scoffed at by, again, the mainstream media cohorts. David recently, and I have to say, I believe it's December of 2010, gave a very interesting lecture, and he went into a particular part of how all these dots connect when we talk about terrorism and we talk about the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund or the Bank for International Settlements and all of the intelligence agencies and the warmongering and this thing, this phenomenon called terrorism, and who's behind that. And I thought it would be a great opening for tonight's show. I've been playing music. We can save the music for later on. With your indulgence, would like to play about a 21-minute clip of that presentation.
Sure, go ahead.
For our listeners. And then you and I will discuss this, I'm sure. So This is David Icke, They Dare Not Speak Its Name, Rothschild or Rothschild Zionism.
I don't give a damn, really, because, you know, we've reached the point here where we've got to start saying what is and not running away from it. What I'm about to say now... What I'm about to say now, virtually no one else, there are some, and some that, you know, some of them are characters I don't really would like to spend an evening with, to be honest, and some are. But most people, the overwhelming majority of people in what we call conspiracy research, won't touch this subject, right? Well, I'm going to bloody touch it because I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of people being frightened and intimidated into not touching it. Thank you. Right. First of all, we as a human race have got to get our freaking heads around what this is, because it ain't what we're told it is. It's not about what's right and beneficial for Jewish people. Jewish people are its victims, not its beneficiaries. Jewish people have been hung out to dry again and again by this crowd that claim to have their best interests at heart, like hell they do. That's why I call this Rothschild Zionism. It was created by them, it is controlled by them to this minute, and it was created as a secret society within the web to massively contribute to the manipulation and control of our global society and individual countries, etc., etc. It's Rothschild Zionism. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, not that anti-Semitism means what we think it does, because Zionism is not about Jewish people. And even in its play-out way or world, it is a political system, a political philosophy. At its core, it is a secret society putting its agents in places of power. One of the very few things that Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, has ever said, which is true, is you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. Because of the propaganda, we equate Zionism with Jewish people. It's not how it is. To a very, very large extent. How many people know this? How many Jewish people around the world are protesting, have organizations created to protest against Zionism? Zionism and Judaism are diametrically opposed. Zionism is state-organized terror. How many times do we see this in the newspapers? Never. End of Zionism equals peace. Israel, stop killing Palestinians. I am Jewish and I want that. Why don't we hear about this? We condemn any Zionist aggression against Iran. I thought every Jewish person in the world wanted to bomb Iran. That's what the media seemed to give us an indication about. Another Jew against Zionism. Over and over. Zionist spokesmen do not represent world Jewry. How many people... I thought Ahmadinejad of Iran is supposed to be the great demon of all Jewish people. Ah, look at it. The demonization comes from Rothschild Zionism. We've been totally misled about what it is. Rothschild dynasty created Israel. It paid for the first people out of Europe to go and people Israel after the war. It paid for the building of the Knesset. It paid for the building of the Supreme Court building with all its Illuminati symbols all over it. And some of the people who've broken out of the family, I quote one of them in my book, have actually said, and as I've been saying for years, because it's bloody obvious, that Israel is not the homeland of Jewish people. It is the fiefdom of the Rothschild dynasty, created out of Rothschild Zionism, a secret society. And Rothschild Zionism has been used via Israel to devastate, slaughter, torture an entire nation of human beings, while claiming to be against terrorism. This is the dictionary definition of genocide: the systematic and widespread extermination or attempted extermination of an entire national, racial, religious, or ethnic group. Never can what is happening in Palestine and Gaza have been described so accurately. More and more people killed through war, killed through bombing attacks, killed through shootings, killed through lack of food and adequate medical care. Gaza, the most crowded piece of land on earth, is little more, ironically, than a concentration camp. And the world looks on. This is the face of Palestine. Well, tell me what you see. Combat boots. Yeah, another terrorist, 5-year-old. And all the time, Palestinian homes are being demolished in occupied land and given over to these extremist settlers who believe that they have a right to it because it says so in some bloody Bible. And then we've got this wall, sorry, security fence, which has taken great tracts of Palestinian land, all against international law and all the rest of it. And here is a children's playground being sacrificed as the wall continues, sorry, security fence continues its endless way. This green is Palestinian land in 1946. Then we see what has happened since. This is 2000. We're in 2010 now. It's much smaller than that. What was I saying? The systematic and widespread extermination or attempted extermination of an entire national, racial, religious, or ethnic group. And I say to these Rothschild Zionists, don't you bloody dare talk about racism of others when you are behind this. Israel is an apartheid society, not just between Israelis and Palestinians, but through Israeli society. It's incredibly apartheid. The way they treat the black Jews from Ethiopia is absolutely grotesque, as is spokesman doing that, then talking about other people's racism. We've got to go for that. I mean, and people, Jewish people, have seen it. You can see what it is. There's some fantastic Jewish people in Israel who are resisting this. Young people who go to jail because they won't serve in the army because of what the army's doing to the Palestinians. Magnificent people. Never get talked about in the mainstream media, hardly. And no matter what is said about Israel, this is Israel's response. Why? Because Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschild dynasty, which also controls the American administration, the British administration, and so Rothschild's one arm is not going to criticize Rothschild's other arm. In the Matrix movie, there's something called the Zion mainframe. Well, Zionism, Rothschild Zionism, is in so many ways a mainframe of this network. And it pervades all the way through. And it's not about, oh, these Jewish people here and these Jewish people there. It's Rothschild Zionists who are there, and they answer to the Rothschild dynasty. Therefore, they play out the agenda of the web in a coordinated way. Now, before I start this, a lot of names coming up. I'm going to go just through a bit of the American administration and a few other things, just to give you a feel for it, for people that haven't seen the extent of this. Before I start, one fact. Jewish people in America are less than 2% of the population. A significant number of them will not be Rothschild Zionists, and therefore the ratio of Rothschild Zionists is even smaller, significantly smaller than the 2%. Okay. Obama's immediate handler is a guy called Rahm Emanuel. He has served in the Israeli army. He's the White House Chief of Staff. He does whatever he says. His father, Emanuel's father, was a terrorist in the Irgun terrorist group that bombed Israel into existence in 1948. And this is the relationship between Rahm Emanuel, he's the kind of Peter Mandelson of America, and Obama. Hey, want a Nobel Peace Prize? I can sort it, son. I can sort it, son. No problem. All pictures like that, by the way, by a guy called David Dees, who's a political artist, brilliant, American, works out of Sweden. He uses images so powerfully to tell a thousand words as they go. This guy is the second handler in the White House. His name's David Axelrod, Rothschild Zionist, And he was the man who orchestrated the entire election campaigns of Obama against Hillary Clinton and then against John McCain. The main funder and orchestrator of the funding, in terms of individuals, of Obama was a guy called George Soros, Rothschild Zionist, who manipulates countries and uses his networks and funding to create coups in countries where they want to change the regime change. And he bets on currencies, like he bet on the pound years ago, and makes a fortune out of the demise of the economy of other countries, because he has no empathy. Henry Kissinger, massive Rothschild Zionist, to serve that dynasty's agenda for 40 years, if not 50 years. And he's now an advisor to Obama, even though he's officially a Republican. The American economy, the American economic team, is led by Timothy Geithner, Treasury Secretary, Rothschild Zionist, and Larry Summers, Rothschild Zionist. The entire Obama budget is run by the budget director, Peter Orszag, Rothschild Zionist. This man was advising the Russian treasury when the Russian governments were giving state assets away to Rothschild Zionist oligarchs, including Roman Abramovich, the owner of Chelsea Football Club, by the way. It's very easy to become a billionaire when a state says, have these assets worth a billion, billions of pounds, thank you very much. It's a piece of cake. You buy a football club if you want. And this man's company was also advising the Icelandic Central Bank in the run-up to the Icelandic crash. The Federal Reserve in America, which controls the American economy in so many ways, it's a privately owned, not government-owned central bank, and it's privately owned by the Rothschilds and the affiliates of the Rothschilds, is Bernard Bernanke, Rothschild Zionist. He replaced Alan Greenspan, Rothschild Zionist, who was head of the Federal Reserve from Reagan Bush right up into the Boy Bush administration, and he systematically took away the checks and balances which allowed the mayhem of 2008 to unfold. We keep hearing about Goldman Sachs and all the mayhem that it's created, both in the crash of 2008 and the crash of the economy in Greece, fundamentally involved Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is a fiefdom of the Rothschilds, headed by Lord Blankfein, Rothschild Zionist. The World Bank, headed by a Rothschild Zionist. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, headed by a Rothschild Zionist. European Central Bank, headed by a Rothschild Zionist. A stream of so-called czars, as they call them in America, controlling different policies and areas, policy areas of the Obama administration, Rothschild Zionists, including Cass Sunstein, who has actually written a paper saying people who have conspiracy theories should either be banned from expressing them or taxed for expressing them. Taxed! Climate change policy in the Obama administration is controlled by Carol Brown, a Rothschild Zionist, and Todd Steen, Rothschild Zionist. Major area of policy. The American administration is utterly awash with Rothschild Zionists, and that is not by accident. It's because they're agents of the dynasty or agents of the control system. It's not about race. Mossad is not the intelligence agency of Israel. It's the intelligence agency of the Rothschilds, and that's why it turns up all over the world in false flag set up terrorist events and assassinations and all that stuff, because it's not carrying out the policy of Israel, it's carrying out the policy of the Rothschilds that control Israel. Now let's look at 9/11. The World Trade Center lease was purchased just a few weeks before 9/11 by Larry Silverstein, Rothschild Zionist, and Frank Lowy, Rothschild Zionist, and the deal was done with this guy called Eisenberg, Louis Eisenberg, Rothschild Zionist, the head of the New York Port Authority. The head of the CIA, who investigated what happened on 9/11, George Tenet, Rothschild Zionist. The Patriot Act, which was brought out, the Orwellian Take Your Freedoms Away Patriot Act in America, was co-authored, justified by 9/11, though it was written before because they knew it was coming, by Michael Chertoff, whose mother was a Mossad agent and who became the second head later of Homeland Security, an organization, Orwellian, that was justified by 9/11. At the time of 9/11, in the run-up to it, and then the war on terror and all that stuff, the Pentagon was dominated by Paul Wolfowitz, Rothschild Zionist, Dov Zakheim, the comptroller, who managed to lose trillions of dollars and still got away with it. And by the way, when one announcement was made of how much he'd lost or had gone missing in the Pentagon, they announced it on September the 10th, 2001. I wonder if they realized that because of that, it would never see the light of day. Dov Zakheim, Rothschild Zionist, and people like Douglas Feith, Rothschild Zionist in the Pentagon. Now, as I've said earlier, the Bush administration was dominated and controlled by what became known as the neocons, the neoconservatives, which were a Rothschild Zionist organization, led by people like Richard Pearl, Rothschild Zionist, William Crystal, Rothschild Zionist, John Bolton, Rothschild Zionist, in belief in nothing, if nothing else. And then the 9/11 Commission report, which was the official report investigating 9/11, they wanted Kissinger to head it first until the public, he didn't take that seriously and he had to step down. But that report, which agreed that the official story of 9/11 was true, was written and overseen by Philip Zelikow, Rothschild Zionist. The judge, Alvin Hellerstein, who is hearing and overseeing the cases of the 9/11 families, who were taking our lawsuits to try to find the truth of 9/11, etc., Rothschild Zionists, making sure that truth never comes out. Think of the ratio I said earlier as I go through this. The man who coined the phrase, he was a Bush speechwriter, the Axis of Evil, which targeted Iraq before they invaded Iran and North Korea, was David Froom, Rothschild Zionist. So when you look at this, because Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschilds, you see that this dynamic, so you'd think, is the man of 300 million people, the superpower, is the most powerful of the two. No, no. He is controlled from there. Because the Rothschilds control them. Do you know Israel has the second biggest F-16 fleet in the world? The biggest outside of America? It's a slither of land. How did they get them? Dov Zakheim, as comptroller of the Pentagon, Rothschild Zionist, made a load of weaponry and planes in America scrap when they weren't, so they could be passed for a song to Israel. These two guys, they produced a book last year, The Israel Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy, and they say this. Israel receives about $3 billion in direct foreign assistance each year, which is roughly one-fifth of America's entire foreign aid budget. In per capita terms, the United States gives each Israeli a direct subsidy worth about $500 a year. This largesse is especially striking when one realizes that Israel is now a wealthy industrial state with a per capita income roughly equal to South Korea and Spain. Another writer, a former BBC and ITN journalist, produced a book, Zionism, the Real Enemy of the Jews, and my God, is that true? And he points out, Jewish people make up less than 2% of the American population, but account for 50%, I would say Rothschild Zionist, 50% of the political campaign contributions. And that's why, no matter how these people argue at election time, including this country and others, they're all agreed on one thing. What goes on in Gaza? Keep quiet. Keep your head down. And I block that out because I don't want anyone to see what's behind it. It's horrific. This man, magnificent Israeli, called Mordecai Vanunu, went to jail for 18 years for revealing the truth that Israel is a nuclear power. He's still got massive restrictions on his movement and what he can say. And you know, and he announced officially, that he was continuing it. There is an official policy that on Israel's nuclear weaponry, America doesn't ask and Israel doesn't say. That's an official policy. Iran hasn't even got it yet, and they want to invade the bloody place. This lady, Kay Griggs, was married to a colonel in the United States Marine Corps, and as a result, she was given a tour of the Middle East section of the State Department. There's a video on the internet where she tells of her experience. And what she says is, everywhere she went was Zionist. Everywhere she went was Zionist literature, in room after room, in this department. And eventually she said to one of them, where's the Palestinians? And they're looking after them. And she said, one of them said, we look after that. Palestinians have got no bloody chance. It's a stitch up. the main lobby group in America is called APEC, America-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which sounds like an official, but it's a lobby group. It's headed by a guy called Lee Rosenberg, who is a very close friend of him and comes from the same political cesspit that we call Chicago. So when this question is asked, Americans, do you dare to say Israeli terrorism? No, no, because of the way it's controlled, like I say. Rothschild Zionists control the media in Hollywood. Don't take my word for it. Los Angeles Times columnist Joel Steen, Rothschild Zionist, wrote an article proclaiming that Americans who don't think Jews, I would say Rothschild Zionists, control Hollywood, are just plain dumb. I had to scour the trades to come up with six Gentiles in high positions at entertainment companies, but lo and behold, even one of that six, AMC president Charles Collier, turns out to be a Jew. As a proud Jew, I want America to know of our accomplishment. Yes, we control Hollywood. Leading Israeli paper columnist said, the Jews, Rothschild Zionist, I would say again, the Jews do control the American media. This is very clear, and claiming otherwise is an insult to common knowledge. And what do the media do? They keep the truth from us and keep us diverted from what's really going on. It's an elephant in the bloody living room, and people are terrified of going there because they're terrified of being called racist and anti-Semitic.
And that's the end of that clip. For those who may have joined us late, that's David Icke in a lecture, a portion of his lecture, which was uploaded to YouTube under the title, They Dare Not Speak Its Name, Rothschild or Rothschild Zionism. I think I would rename this the Rothschild Roast for short. Quite an impressive presentation of names and background. And I feel, Michael Anthony, that in 21 minutes, David Icke covered the past 3.5 years of my radio show. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, Don, that that interview there, that little lecture is very informative, and hopefully we'll get more and more exposure to the public, because it's very important that the key names involved with the demise of every country in the world is finally revealed for those at least that aren't aware. I mean, you Don, your show, you guys cover it all the time. Many other shows
many
do.
Many other shows too. Yeah,
sure. It gets hammered all the time. I try to get my jabs in every opportunity I can, and exposing the names. And so it's very good.
There's more to it, though.
There's a lot more to it, though. A lot more.
Yeah. In a larger context, Michael, if you consider all these people, all these names, even the name at the top that he kept referring to, they're all agents for another organization.
Yeah, Don, that's right. I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper. It really does. And as it turns out, these quote unquote Zionists, okay, you know, that's fine. If that's the term a lot of people want to use to describe these scumbags that control all the money in the world by controlling the money issuance of every country in the world. And therefore, they control every country in the world via that process, via that racket. And I've, you know, they're all Jewish names. Now, I'm not saying all Jews are evil or anything like that. There's good and evil in every type of people on the planet, religiously or culturally, race-wise. And so it's not that all Jews are evil or anything like that. But there's a bad sector all have Jewish names. They've been around for decades, centuries, and they're behind all the evil. Every time you trace down the cause of a particular incident that is very chaotic or violent, a lot of deaths involved, it's always the same people behind it. The Rothschilds or Slothchilds, as I like to call them, in Europe, which dominate Europe. They're primary agents over here, the Rockefeller family. But you have all the other families that are in bed with them in the banking cartel, the Warburgs, Bronfmans, Goldman, Morgans, Sachs, as in Saxenburg, and on and on. And so that's the root of all our problems on this planet. And it may be hard to believe to those that are still green behind the ears when it comes to these topics, but that's just how it is. And everyone that is in the know knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, there's many secret societies out there, and it's like a web. It's also pyramidal. And ultimately, they all work in concert with each other. There's infighting and rivalries between them internally, naturally. And at the same time, though, they remain organized and unified in the common goal, their scheme to create and subdue the entire world by creating a one-world global structure with a one-government system controlling everything. That's their United Nations. And they're very close to pulling that off. And through these secret societies, this is how they've been able to conduct it. Mm-hmm. What's very amazing, Don, as you get very intimate with this topic, you realize with the depth of the secret societies and how far they go back over time, then it makes you wonder and ask the question, how is it that people devised a plan centuries ago, remained truthful and dedicated to it through that course span of time, and are right now in our lifetime close to fulfilling it. Now, how does that happen? I mean, the guys that initiated, you would think maybe, say, 200, 300 years ago. They're long gone. You think the plan would have got dropped. Somebody would have dropped the ball. I mean, what the heck? How do you keep that going? And yet somehow a power ensured that it did. And what is that power?
Thousands of years.
Right, Don. And so what is that power that has enabled it to go successively, consistently, persistently throughout the history of this planet? That is a supernatural power, obviously not a physical power, because all the physical powers have come and gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this group is referred to as Zionists. Practicing Zionism, they've been known as the Ashkenazi, as the Khazars or the Khazarians. They've been called Sabbateans. They are known as the Mon, as in Mongolia, or Montauk, or even more Mon. And the Bon of Tibet. I mean, the connection to antiquity is yes. there, isn't it?
It all originated in the East. Over time, migrated totally west. Just as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, so have they. And we're seeing maybe the sunset on everything good and decent, sane and honorable, because they're closing in on their agenda of subduing the entire earth into a grip of enslavement and misery.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's true. But at the same time, and you have more than just that, because the Khazarians and the Mongolian sources of the Zionism, they are like Heinz Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, especially Brzezinski. You can see the Mongolian genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And but you also have those that are true Jews coming out of originally the Middle East area, migrating into Europe, and they've also been very unified and highly organized. And there's Zionism is another counterfeit, because that's all they do is counterfeit. God's Zion is paradise, and their Zion is going to be hell. But they will rule like princes and royalty over the serfs. And so as far as they're concerned, they'll be in heaven, because everything under them will be subjected to enslavement, depression, poverty, just misery and sorrow all in all. And while they live totally lavishly, and so that's what makes them happy. They are that sick of a type of creature, And so they get high on that. That's their food. They're happy when everything else is miserable. And so they are the Christ killers that 2,000 years ago that ensured that Jesus the Christ would be killed. And so we're dealing with all of that. And David Icke, he's very informative, but at the same time, he does knock like with the Bible and stuff and Christianity. And I believe in his book, Children of the Matrix, he even says that it's all made up. And that's his error. Because
yeah, I'm not saying I agree with.
Oh yes, I know.
What
I know
he said there. I think maybe in a sense what he was saying is, you know, if it's edited out of or edited into a Bible, any Bible, he didn't specify what Bible. And there are many different religions. There are many different Bibles or sacred books. I think he used that as a general term. I'm not defending him. It's just my impression of
sure. No, I'm just lost you.
And sounds
Don, like I'm just stating that I'm familiar with David, especially reading that book, Children of the Matrix, and he believes that, and he states it in that particular book, and it's a major error on his part, and for a guy that's pursuing the path of truth and following it wherever it leads, I'm surprised he hasn't connected the dots on that and realized that the good Lord himself is valid. And it's impossible.
Maybe he'll hear this show and take that to heart.
And consider it. Sure, come on and let's discuss it. And you see, it's impossible when you study what the good Lord was really all about, and he taught individual freedom. You won't need anything but God himself through Father God and Mother God. Mother Nature, to stay optimally healthy, will never need a doctor. And Father God, for all our other creative talents and abilities and needs and desires of what we need in the material world as well. And Father God provides everything too. And so the Lord taught how to be free and also create a heaven by living a virtuous way. And the devils can't touch us when we're living very, very virtuously. It's a beautiful thing. They'll try. Could be in car accidents. You could have all kinds of calamities.
That's what they do for a living.
That's right, Don. And yet you come out unscathed. And that is just the coolest thing.
It's not this intermittent event that occurs because one has extra time on their hands. They're devoted to this incessantly, 24/7. The other issue is who's pulling the strings, you know, who's pulling their puppet strings.
That's right. And that's why I referred to the power behind it all, the supernatural power that has enabled it to perpetuate throughout this length of span of time. That's the dark fallen angel powers. Okay, from the invisible realms. They serve them. And some of them could be their offspring through their black magic practices. And a lot of people may not be aware of that, but I'm sure your listeners are. I've discussed it many times that unfortunately it's just that dark and sinister and evil. And they do child sacrificing and all kinds of horrendous things all in the name of their gods, which is Lucifer. And there's an interview from the 70s. But with a guy named Harold Rosenthal, who was a staffer for Senator Jacob Javits of New York. And he made it clear in the interview that he didn't call himself Zionist. He called himself the Jews. They control everything, the media and everything, all politics, ever since Roosevelt, and which is Rosenfeld.
Mm-hmm.
That's his real name. And so at the end of the interview, he admits when he acknowledges that they feel they're still God's chosen people. They're very anti-Christian, and he was mocking the Christians how easy they've been to control, manipulate, and it's all true. I mean, the Christians in this country have fell for all their deceptions, hook, line, and sinker. And Maybe that's why the sign of Christians in the old days was a fish.
Yes.
And so at the end of the interview, he makes it clear that, oh, yes, our God is Lucifer. He actually states that. And now you also have a document called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is supposed to be a hoax of a document. And it goes back as far back as people can really, 1800s for sure. And even for, if it's a hoax, like they all say it is, how is it that everything in it has happened and is happening right now to the letter? And it's a very extensive document. Takes a lot of reading, but every paragraph you read will have, you'll realize it has those things stated have already happened or are happening right now. And it's very extensive through economics, spiritual religion, and political manipulations to bring about their agenda. And so again, there you have that document, which spells it all out. It's the whole game plan. And people could deny that it's real. It's like, okay, don't believe it's real. And yet everybody that reads it and studies it will acknowledge it's all real. And by getting very familiar with it, you'll already know the plan, the game book. You'll know what is going to happen next if it hasn't happened just yet, and be ready for it, prepared for it. And so obviously it's a very extensive network worldwide, but it's got supernatural powers behind it all. As ultimately, Don, as you well know, it's really just a contest between the powers of light and the powers of darkness, the good angels and the fallen angels that have rebelled a long time ago, eons ago, against the Creator himself. And that war has never really been resolved. That's what the Bible is ultimately about in one perspective. When you study it well in the Old Testament and the New Testament up to Revelations, it's pretty clear that something's going on with supernatural beings. Man's caught up in the middle of it. And it appears that it may be winding down, coming to its culmination in our time. It sure is looking that way.
Yes, winding down, not winding up. Even though they're stepping up the frequency of their false flag events and those things that they've orchestrated to sort of plot along time in a sense as a snail moving across a piece of steel wool. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's tremendous tenacity.
Now, what I find interesting is that, you know, there are some writings, there are some videos, there are some documentaries, there are photographs and disclosures of these beings, who they are, why they're here, what is going on, that I know firsthand is true. Now, the things that are disclosed in some of these exposés, we'll call them, are not always on point, or they make opposite statements. They, meaning either the person communicating their experiences, their thoughts, their emotions, and those of others, or even giving the opportunity, the forum for an entity to speak, or one of these beings to speak their truth as to why they do what they do and what their role is in the entire group and the impact that this has on the solar system, not just this planet, the solar system and the galaxy, because this is allegedly going on in other parts of the galaxy. I know that to be true. I know that they use politicians. They actually take over politicians in every sense of the word. And now, not every politician. We can easily say 70% in that
That's being,
you know, in the light of
being generous.
Yes. I'm actually referring to a book that's sort of being edited. It was written by the late Jeannie Gospel, a double L on the end, or Go Spell, kind of an interesting way to look at the last name, you see. This is a woman who had a relationship with a reptilian named Brian. And there's a second aspect of this personality of this reptilian, which is a soul. We could call it a parasite in a sense, but it's a soul that attaches itself by its own proclamation to the back of an individual. And this is sort of like a double mind. Well, this
I think they call it possession.
Well, yes, but the reptilian being is also implanted into a human body, okay? And the shape-shifting that occurs, at least in the case of this individual, this was a British subject named Brian. The entity is called Ettish, spelled E-T-T-I-S-S-H. And I looked at that, and I saw the word E-T, capital E-T, dash I-S-H, E-T-ish. It's right there in front of you. But it names certain people who have been, let's say, recruited to be their representatives in society. The name Virginia Wade, the British tennis player, is mentioned. The American actor Tom Cruise is mentioned as being one of them. Despite the fact that I say he's the poster boy for Scientology, anyone that's studied the subject, and it's sort of implied in this story that Scientology somehow has broken through the layers of programming that the reptilians have imposed upon humanity. And so, in a sense, they're an enemy, when in reality, anyone that's studied Scientology feels quite the opposite, as long as they're not a member of the group. I'm neither judging whether or not their methods are effective, but what is their intent, ultimately? Is it to free a being of its karma? Well, the reptilians claim that they can remove certain karmic aspects of an individual by removing their past life remembrances, and therefore they have to pay extra karma for that karma that's missing, or those karmic debts that have been paid through a life's experience. Now, if you accept that as a reality, it makes sense if it's true, but is that possible, or is that just another form of mind control or just illusion? And then we have all of these social structures in place, education, religion, government, citizenship, and these illusions of democracy or freedom or republicanism, all these different things out there. People become confused and they don't know what to think about. And that's by design. It's done that way. I'm not saying that you have to agree with everything I'm saying, but the compendium of my research going on 36 years of serious research into these topics and many esoteric topics in metaphysics or in religion or in education or in music, part of my life's experience has been to understand those things. Why not? They're there. Are they there just to accept that they're there, or are we to know what they do, why they are there, the impact that it has on us, or on others, or on each other, or on the whole of the creation? It's admitted that they focus on the physical aspects of who we are, and they feel pretty certain that they have been able to dismantle the Akashic record, or steal it, or seal it up in a vault that it can't be accessed, and that they can stop souls from transcending to, let's say, to heaven or to a higher dimension where things are sorted out and one determines where they're going to be next as they move through time. These things have been suppressed from mankind. In fact, everything they do, the suppression and the defiling of the arts and the expansion of consciousness is frowned upon. So truth tellers and innovators in science and medicine and everything that honors the creation is being defiled by these beings. And they have to hide. This is the thing. They're so all-powerful that we should fear what they may do to us, and yet all we have to do is keep pointing out the fact that they exist. And eventually, someone's going to see that reality. That's, in essence, what David Icke is talking about. Although he didn't take it that far, he has in his books and he has in other talks. He's gotten it very deeply into this. But the fear-mongering that's going on with so much disinformation about what is actually going on, whether it's geopolitically or geo-financially or geographically or in terms of the corruption of nature and natural law and the creation, I mean, he's on point there.
Well, sure, Don. Ultimately, the fundamentals are there's a lot of evil in the world. It's coming from and emanating out of a small sector of humanity. And it's obvious that there's supernatural activity going on. It's obvious that people have been asleep for a long period of time. And everything is designed to keep people asleep. And in that state, though they have eyes, they cannot see. Though they have ears, they cannot hear. And therefore, they can be duped, manipulated, and so forth. Fortunate are people like us, you, everyone listening, myself, that for some reason, we've snapped out of that sleep. And that can only be due to some outside power helping us, assisting us. We were able to respond to truth when it came across our path. And we became quote unquote enlightened by it, we were thinking. And so unfortunately the masses aren't. And so what everyone needs to come to terms with is this evil source and go after it. Recognize what it is. It's pure evil. It's generating insanity and totally displacing everything that is sane.
Yes, and the chaos that accompanies the insanity.
That's right, exactly.
In fact, the two feed off each other.
Yes, they're definitely attributes of the same force.
See, now flat out in this book that I'm referring to, The Body Snatchers, it sort of ends kind of leaving you asking a bunch of questions. And of course, I brought up some points without having disclosed everything that's in the book. I tried to bring up some points that show the contradictions, the hypocritical contradictions that we actually witness on a daily basis. We know government lies to us. We know politicians lie. The two are synonymous with each other. So why do we expect to hear the truth from them? We're not going to.
Precisely.
And it's the same with the media. The media was conspiratorial on 9/11, and they have remained so ever since. In fact, they're conspiratorial about everything dark.
Because the media, and like their politician associates, are just actors and principal players hired and working for the same scum, evil, that's very localized behind the scenes.
Yeah, and we've
seen that shadowy entity.
Yeah. We've seen them shapeshift on television. We've seen, or on video, taken from television broadcasts. We've seen the shapeshifting in movies and TV shows. commercials and in real life. Many, many people have seen it. Some people have seen it and maybe rubbed their eyes or became confused or had a dizzy spell or got something in their eye, forgot what they were going to say, and they become very disoriented about the experience. But people will come to eventually a recognition that they've seen these things before. And I know, Michael, in the beginning I was one of the biggest skeptics, but under the underlying current that I felt was things are not like they appear to be. This is all illusion. And I began searching for answers as to why I felt that way. And I ran into people who felt the same way. And we shared ideas and thoughts, just like we are right now. And you do this without fear because you come to learn that fear itself is an illusion. Oh, when you're feeling it, it feels real. But it's what caused that feeling that is the illusion. Maybe the feeling is your body's way and your mind's way and your soul's way of showing you what's really going on. This isn't real because what is real was created out of love. And it was created. It wasn't destroyed. And it was the free will that God gave us. He also gave us commandments, sort of like, you have free will, but these are the rules. He gave us 10 commandments. And really, the first two commandments are all that you have to follow, and all the rest fall into place. You don't even that's have right. to concern yourself with those, you see.
Mm-hmm. But, right, Don. You see, these commandments or rules are technically laws. It's just like the law of gravity. Hey, guess what? You climb the top of that roof and you walk off it, you're going to fall and you're going to get hurt. Now, you know about this as a law now, so you can't say you didn't know if you find yourself doing that. And that's what God has done. He's let us become aware of the laws that if we follow will ensure our happiness and prosperity. And breaking those laws is what is known as sinning. And so because religions are so inadequate as everything else, all the authorities on any topic today, any establishment today, they're all phonies, they're frauds, they're counterfeits. And so it just comes down to the fundamentals. And these dark forces are very anti-God. And they mock God as much as they can. They'll destroy as much as they can that God has created. And we're seeing that right before our eyes.
Yes. So when we look at world events, whether it's what's going on in Egypt, isn't it a bit interesting how we start getting earthquakes in Arkansas, and then we've got earthquakes going on in much more severe going on in New Zealand. Whereas New Zealand, Christ Church, isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Of all the places that could be near the epicenter, Christ Church, at this time, when we have spiritual warfare going on.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yep. And you also have a lot of volcanic activity on the rise. Another volcanic eruption in the Philippines, and it's a different volcano than the one they had last year.
Oh, yes. And
heard some reports about Mount St. Helen starting to build up pressure, maybe has already blown some steam. And so, yes, sir, Don, what we're going to experience is, you see, unfortunately, when we fall asleep, we're out of contact with reality. And so we cut ourselves off from our creator, Father God, Mother God. And therefore, we become unaware that Mother God, planet Earth, is a dynamic living thing. And it reacts and responds, especially to us, our behavior and our thoughts, our mental energies, because we are the lords, the angels of this realm, of this garden. Everything is under our influence. And so since man has generated through ignorance and stupidity so much negative energy, which has accumulated in the energy fields of the atmosphere, the ethers as they're known, it's going to come back and haunt us. Mother Nature is going through a transition, as we covered in the past, as our planet and our solar system are orbiting around our sun, which is orbiting around a greater sun, and everything's moving into new positions in the universe. And it's not static and linear. It's a ascending, spiraling movement. And so the Earth is going back to a place where it originally started from. And everything's going to be beautiful once it gets there. The seasons will be balanced, and there won't be any real disease, and mankind will have his act together. He'll be awake. Everyone will be awake and fully aware, conscious of who they are, and what they are not, and aware of the history of this planet, and full remembrance to their psyche. So everybody's on the same level. Everybody understands everything, and therefore everyone acts accordingly the same. And so as the Earth resolves itself back into that situation, that physical level of state of perfection, she's resolving herself back to that. All matter is getting lighter again. It just hit its apex of density, and obviously things got pretty dense. We know a lot of people out there that are very dense. Everything's very dense and has been in this world, and it's going to start lightening up. The energies, the new cosmic rays from the new positioning of the solar system in the universe, new cosmic energies, radiations are striking our world, our planet, and therefore these energies are lifting the vibration rate of matter in our three-dimensional world here. It's going to get lighter. That's why everyone's going to get more aware and conscious again and enlightened again. And so as the Earth resolves itself back to this new state of being, that's a transition. And that transition could have been smooth if mankind was really all in all living in harmony on this planet. But because of all the negative energy that has been generated, instead, this transition looks like it's going to be harsh and very bumpy and actually probably turbulent, unfortunately. And so we're seeing that through nature, with not only the earthquakes, Don, but also a lot of volcanic activity again.
Sounds like someone's a little bit upset about the topic tonight.
No, that's Panther, and
to get his two cents in.
he's a talker, but he's got to go out for quite a while. I gave him some milk a little while ago, and I think he's got to go back outside. They're tough. It's only 17 degrees out tonight, and he'll stay out there all night.
I hope he finds something else to do besides the original call of nature. Well, I'll give you a chance to let him out.
Don, if you don't mind, just give me a second. Thanks.
I'm gonna let Stevie Wonder provide a solution here, folks. This is many years ago that he had this message. He said, "Have a talk with God."
There are people who have let the problems of today lead them to conclude that for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, communicating with one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never ever let you down. And you can talk to him anytime, he's always around. When you feel your life's too hard, just go he's the only free psychiatrist that's known throughout the world for solving the problems of all men, women, little boys and girls. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. When you feel your life's too hard, love's too much to bear, just go talk to God, he cares. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Thank you.
So true, that message, and that it's from 31 years ago. Stevie recorded that. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Have a talk with God. Ultimately, it comes down to that. And Michael, the listeners need to know, you and I really didn't prepare this show. Certainly, we didn't talk about it beforehand, and you handled the topic very well.
Thank you.
I want to give you, you know, we're about out of time here. I want to give you an opportunity to make.
Sorry for that cat.
Oh, no, that's okay. You know, we have to be reminded that we're connected with nature, you know, and we have to go along with it. So.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not my cats. I mean, I've only had him since the summer when he came around, and he hangs out here. He's a lot of personality, very cool. When I'm outside, he follows me around like a dog, and they're very cool. I grew up with dogs, and since they've been all gone, the cats started coming around stalking the birds I feed out there. I have a lot of birds, so I started working with the cats, getting familiar with them, and now over the last so many years, Don, I got them all tamed. They don't bother the birds or anything, at least not while I'm around. They'll just lay there while the birds are right around eating. And they're not even mine.
I didn't tell you Panther's my cat, too.
You have a cat named Panther as well?
No. Well, I do, but he's over at your place right now. In that sense, you know, the nature belongs to all of us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's a beautiful thing. They're guests hanging out here indefinitely. And while they've been hanging out here, I've worked with them, not only keeping them healthy at the physical level, but spiritually. I tuned into them, and they definitely are very smart creatures, a lot of personality, and I've been able to work with them so that I bring out more peaceful nature out of that killer instinct that they have, and let them know that there's enough around for everybody at the same time, because they get jealous with each other, the cats, vying over my attention as who's going to be number one. It's really amazing they do that. And at the same time, don't want others to come around and eat when I put food out, because I get some other guys that come around. They're hungry. They're looking for a place as well. And they're more than welcome to grab some chow and stuff, but it's amazing how they act like dogs and fight them off. And I break them of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a beautiful thing to work with everything. You see, Don, it's all part of God's garden. We're like the lords and angels in the garden. And so when I'm hanging out with any of the creatures, any of the animals, I treat them all with respect and a lot of compassion and love. Go out of my way to help them any way I can. And they recognize that right away. And that's how, next thing you know, you get intimate with nature. And you see, it's all part, that's a virtue to be able to operate that way, to function that way. That's very virtuous. And as we live virtuously, power comes to us. What is power? It's God. I know God as power. As far as a profession, he's a gardener. And his attributes are love and wisdom. But what is he? He's a power. That's how I know God, as a power that availed itself to me a long time ago. And that power we become more and more intimate with when we demonstrate that the little bit of power we acquire is always used constructively and harmoniously in God's garden. That gets big, big points. And the good angels, that draws them right to you as well. They love that. And so if people would all start applying that as best as they can. And how do you do it? Well, when you come across everything, you acknowledge it, you bless it.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask God to bless it. Say, God, bless that cat, bless that bird, bless that person. Help them out. Keep them warm in this terrible winter's period. Keep them well fed so they're all healthy and staying warm. And just little thoughts like that, that seem little, but those are big time thoughts because you're asking God to bless everything that you come across. That is the role of a human being as the Lord, an angel, in the garden on planet Earth.
That has to be transmuted to people, too.
Yes, that's people, everything. Yeah, you bless everything, people, animals, plants, the whole garden.
Yeah, and when we're confronted with terrorists or suspected of this and that, or this government is being overthrown because of a dictator, without mentioning the fact that that those that are reporting the news are behind the original placement of that dictator into a position of power. We have to start recognizing that these things have been going on for thousands of years by design. They've always been used to control people and to rob and plunder those people, to enslave them. That's what's going on.
They're parasites.
Yes. So our prayers or our thoughts at least should be to understand what it is that's going on. We're pointing that out this evening, and we do that every time you're on the show, Michael. It's you know, we're not asking anyone to believe what we're saying. This isn't about belief. It's about truth. It's about what is and not what is not.
Just like with everything, when you're taking in new information, new data, and you have to assimilate it to see if it fits into your current fundamentals of concepts of reality, then you just keep an open mind to it and test it. Just test it. See if it proves itself true or if it proves itself false. And that's how we all learn over time. Everything that's true continues to manifest itself. It'll prove itself. Every time you're looking, it'll prove itself to be real. And if it's a lie, it'll disappear. It'll be gone because it's a lie. It's false.
Yes.
And but everything we're covering, Don, is so basic. And, everybody listening is on up to speed with what we've been covering. It's still fundamental and basic. But still, at the same time, if it's not explained properly, people will never really get it. And so that's the key. And I appreciate being on your show, Don, because you're giving me the opportunity to try to express what I've acquired in understanding about how to approach life. And so, you know, for a guy that never gets sick, I'm walking around all winter long, barefoot in sandals inside, even when I go outside. And if I'm going around on errands, I just kick my sneakers on. I don't have socks on. And I never get a sniffle. I was just shoveling again the other day, just had a t-shirt on. It was about 17 degrees. And I never get a sniffle or anything. So I must know something about how to stay healthy. Everybody used to think I was crazy when they would see me back over the years during the wintertime shoveling out with no shirt on or just a t-shirt. And so now over the years, they all know he's not crazy because we never see the guy sick. And they see many people coming to me here locally to get my formulas and stuff over the years. And so everybody knows I know something about staying healthy. The words around on that. And so it's the same with the approach to just living life itself and understanding that by blessed with our mind, we control it. And how do you think positive? Well, you think positive not by saying, I'm thinking positive, I'm going to think positive. No, you think positive by actually generating thoughts that generate positive energy by blessing everything. Try not to get too upset, emotionally unbalanced throughout your day. When disturbing things hit you, try to keep the emotions as calm and steady as possible so your mind is always positive. And then you'll be able to work your way, maneuver through, over, or around whatever situation it is that could be causing some emotional disruptions. There's always going to be stress. There's always going to be problems. We're in an imperfect world, raised as mortals by mortals, and we're taught how to die as soon as we're born, which is the opening line in my consultations when people come to me for a health consultation and they want to learn the secrets of staying healthy. And the first lesson is, as soon as we're born, we're taught how to die. And they'll give me that look like, huh, what? And within an hour or two of the consultation where we're really in the thick of it, and then they'll ask me a question, and then I'll say, because when we're born, we're taught how to die. We're raised by mortals. That's why we do that. We have these bad habits. And they go, oh, yeah, right. And so it's unfortunately, that's the world we're in. And there will be stress. And that's all trials. Trials and tribulations are also necessary because as human beings that are striving towards our divinity, of being true sons and daughters of God through virtuous living, demonstrating that we love His creation, we want to participate in it eternally, and therefore we're going to cooperate with it and assist it in any way we can. And amazingly, the more we do that, it comes back to us. And just as a tangent, even though I don't want to get lost on the point I was just going to make, but another example is, a lot of people tell me when they see what I'm doing and stuff and say, Mike, you're so lucky. You ought to play the lottery. And I say, no. And that's not how I'm going to try to hit it big. I'm going to do it just constantly through working hard. But when, like this one guy at the feed store, he sees I'm in there all the time, spending a lot of money on good quality sunflower seeds and stuff to feed the birds, especially in the winter, and critters. I go around feeding animals and stuff too. And so a guy goes every time, goes, Mike, you know how much, you ever think how much you're spending here? If you sit back and think about it over the year, how much you're spending? And I look at him and say, of course. And I say, but it's all worth it. And he goes, really, huh? And you can see the guy, you know, he's just a grunt there at this feed store. He's struggling to make ends meet, especially in today's times. And he's so he's surprised when I say that. He thinks I'm wasting money feeding birds. And I say, no. I said, it all comes back to you in ways you don't even believe, but you'll see it as you do it.
Yes, it's a matter of experience, and we need to close out, but I want to make a final comment here that we can tell people what we know as of who we are and who we are intended to be. In other words, the purpose of life and why we were created. A lot of people have a hard time grasping that in the largest sense because they're constantly being, I don't know if the best word is attacked, but they're under a sort of a psychic and a spiritual attack, which focuses primarily on the physical and mental bodies. In other words, they're given a false reality of who they are and what's to be paid attention to and expected of them. In other words, their focus is on the program and only that. And any deviation from that is not to be accepted. Now,
well, that's too bad for them.
But this is the challenge the whole world is faced with.
Yeah, but Don, see, what you just described can only occur to individuals who are weak.
Yes, I'm not finished. Let me make the second half of that statement. So, and this isn't to get a debate going here. This is a wrap up. Thinking about the process, and this is what I do. I sort of do this intuitively, but I can look at what I've been doing over the years on Evident Footprints, and honestly say that I can show people who we are not, and that opens the door for them to see who we really are.
That's right, Don.
You see, that's basically what I wanted to say. We could do many shows on that topic alone.
we've covered it quite a few times, and there's plenty more to cover on that topic.
Yes, But we're out of time, Michael. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I appreciate your comments and your wisdom. And folks, if you want to check out Michael Anthony's private stock, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, then click on Michael Anthony and read about his private stock. You will thank yourself and Michael Anthony. Michael, got to say goodnight, but thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Don, and appreciate that plug. And God bless you. God bless everybody listening. Have a great night. Take care.
And we'll see you next month, actually. So
great. I look forward to it as always, Don.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or in an archive. Over at BBS Radio, we had Don Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow evening when my special guest will be none other than Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. I'll look for you tomorrow, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.